Welcome in. This is the Stone Down Sports Podcast. Tonight is Thursday. We've got a little 10-round, 12-team head-to-head points league mock draft that we're going to be bringing to you tonight. Do want to say thank you to all of our subscribers and everybody that comes and hangs out with us, especially you, Dubo, for pointing out my dumb ass and turn the mic on. we've got just one spot left in the listener league. Kyle dropped the link there in the chat. It will be in the description as well. One spot left. We're drafting Sunday. Come snag it up. Winner's going to get a Nike gift card and a little bit of swag for the show. Before we jump into everything, we do have some MLB news and notes. And if you haven't heard already, Shohei Ohtani might be in a little bit of trouble. It comes out that he gave his interpreter something like $4.5 million to pay off some gambling debts. That was announced, and then he recanted that and said Ohtani had no idea. Now, this presents some issues because, number one, sports gambling is illegal in California, and number two, it raises a lot of questions of, all right, was it really his interpreter? Were these bets placed on Ohtani's behalf? Right now, we've got a lot more questions than we do answers.
Right.
All right. So the mock draft, I don't know who in the hell we had in here for 10. That sucks. Yeah, we are a little discombobulated tonight.
Matt's having some technical issues with his monitor, I see.
It is what it is. All right. Well, you ready to jump into this thing?
Yeah. You switched everything around there.
All right. Well, starting off with round one. There's really only one correct answer at number one overall, and that is Ronald Acuna. Anytime you can get somebody with 40-70 upside with a great batting average and on-base percentage, I'm going to take it all damn day long.
Yeah, and number two, you know, I think a lot of people probably go with Bobby Witt. I did not. I chose Betts with the Dodgers. I think just being in that lineup and all that he can give for counting stats and especially for points leagues. I love him there, so I liked him at number two.
Speaking of Bobby Witt, at number three, that's who I went with, 30-30 upside. He does strike out a little bit more than I would prefer, especially at this point in the draft where we're only three picks in, but I'll take it. Give me a shortstop that can do all that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, even the Royals aren't expected to be super great, but he's going to be great in fantasy. Number four, I chose Julio Rodriguez with the Mariners there. Love him. Tons of home runs that he can get. I love him.
Nice.
Yeah, like that's a great analysis.
Yeah, it is. at number five, so we kind of broke with ADP. I went with Kyle Tucker, outfielder from the Astros. He's another dude with 30-30 upside coming into the prime of his career, and he's on what should be a fantastic offense down there in Houston.
Yeah, it's a good pick. Number six, I had to get the pitchers going, you know, of course. Spencer Strider with the Braves. Listen, he was the number two starting pitcher last season in fantasy. Won 20 games. Best performance last year. I expect him to repeat it and help the Braves compete for a World Series title.
No kidding. So at number seven, people have probably been wondering where in the hell is Corbin Carroll, where this is where he is. I'm thrilled to death to get him at seven overall. A lot of drafts, he's going at number two. Gives you a nice power speed combo from an ascending team.
Absolutely. number eight, Juan Soto with the New York Yankees now. Number four outfielder last season in fantasy. Played all 162 games. I love it. They've kind of beefed up the lineup there, you know, in addition to him. And I think the Yankees are going to be a lot better than they were last year. It pains me saying that, but
yeah, they're an improved offense.
Yes.
At number nine, Freddie Freeman, first base from the Dodgers. Doesn't necessarily have the huge power upside, but he'll chip in elsewhere. Dude's an on-base machine and most likely the best offense in baseball.
Should talk a little longer sometimes. Matt Olson, I know you had him on your team last year, but I'm going with him at, what are we at? Pick 10?
Yep.
Pick 10, powerful corner infielder, second best in points among first basemen last season behind Freddie Freeman. Guy's just amazing. 993 OPS. Great pick at that spot.
Sure. Number 11, we're almost here to the end of the first round. I went with Aaron Judge. I know injuries are concerned with him and how many games are you going to get out of him? But if you can get 140 plus games, you're looking at 50 plus home runs, 100 plus runs, 100 plus RBIs. Dude's a machine.
Yeah. And final pick of the last round, number 12, Jose Ramirez, third baseman for the Guardians. I almost said Indians. Definitely, you know, improved some stats from 22 to 23, really increased that exit velocity. Hopefully he gets some help there and the Guardians can do something, but the guy just possesses an amazing ability to, he excels at driving in runs. I like him there at the end of the first round.
All right.
Let's see, where's that at? So just to recap, round one, what do you see there, Matt?
Well, I was surprised Soto lasted as long as he did in a points league. You want to treat that like it's an on-base percentage league, and there's really nobody better in baseball than getting on base than him. And I was also surprised at how far Corbin Carroll fell.
Yeah. Yep. How do you feel about me taking Bet second?
Multi-position eligibility.
Dude.
You know, you're going to get elite output from him atop the best offense in baseball. Absolutely. Take it. It's a great pick.
Heck yeah.
All right. Second round. I went with Trey Turner. He's somebody huge stolen base upside. He's got some pop in his bat. Philly hasn't been getting the same amount of hype as a, you know, Atlanta or the Dodgers, but that's going to be one hell of an offense there.
It is. Next up, second pick of round two. 14 overall, Shohei Ohtani. You know, with what's going on now recently with that Matt mentioned at the top of the show, you know, big deal. I'm still picking him. You know, I think that's about where he goes, right?
Yeah. Ballpark.
Well, top of the second round, but all around guy, obviously, and going to be a great addition to the Dodgers offense that was already outstanding to begin with.
All right. At three in the second round, I went with Yordan Alvarez. Fantastic power hitter. Hits for a good average. The concern with him is just staying on the field. And with him playing more of the field this year, there is some concern there. But at the same time, the output he gives you is just ridiculous.
Number 16, the fourth pick of the second round. Fernando Tatis with the Padres. Man, I really expected bigger things for that as a team last season. But on the fantasy side, I don't think you can go wrong with this guy. Not a ton of good outfielders out there. It's very shallow.
Yeah, it's a shallow position this year. Number 16 overall, fifth pick in the second round. Went with Corbin Burnes. I think the move to Baltimore is going to help him out quite a bit with the renovations there at Camden Yards. It plays as a much larger ballpark, and he's somebody with elite strikeout upside. He's shown you the past couple of years just what he can do, and he's going to bring his talents to the AL East, and I think he's going to have another dominant season.
I agree. Sixth pick in the second round, Bryce Harper with the Phillies. You know, guy's a beast. You know what he can do. Consistently maintains a high level of offense. And I think a full season of Bryce Harper on your fantasy team is never a bad thing. And he's been having a good spring so far. So like to see it.
Yeah. Next up, I went with Austin Riley, third baseman from the Braves. He's going to give you 30 home runs. He's going to give you 90 RBIs. He's going to score a ton of runs. The average isn't amazing, but he's not going to kill you there either. And he's doesn't have an aversion to drawing a walk. Incredibly productive dude. Just be patient with him because he is kind of a slow starter.
Agreed. Next up, pick 8 in the second round, Ellie De La Cruz. You know, if you want potential on your fantasy team, I think this is the guy you got to go with. You know, strikeout range, whiff rate, definitely all in the undesirable range, but still a young guy, still learning. I think a lot of people might wait to the fifth round on him, as late as the fifth round, but I wanted some potential on my team.
Sure. If you think you're going to get Ellie in the fifth round, I wish you the best of luck. Yeah. I mean, nobody in hell. No way in hell.
I've seen it.
All right. 21 overall, ninth pick in the second round. I went with Pete Alonso. Give me an absolutely monster bat in a walk year. Enough said.
Next up, pick 10 in the second round, Ozzie Albies. Had his pretty much his career year last year. They had 33 home runs. I'd like to see more stolen bases from them this year, but again, going here feels right, especially with that Atlanta Braves offense, you know, with Matt Olson and Austin Riley hitting behind him. Lots of good opportunity for stats for him, especially if he keeps up 30 home runs.
Hell yes. All right, next to last pick. Let's stick with Atlanta. Michael Harris, their young outfielder. We're just waiting for this dude to put together a 2020 season. He's been on the cusp. I don't think 25-25 is out of the question for him, and he's going to give you a nice little value here towards the end of the second round.
Yeah, last pick in the second round, Gunnar Henderson with the Orioles. Man, great guy last year. You know, run AL Rookie of the Year, finished eighth in AL MVP voting. Just rips the shit out of the ball real damn hard. I think he'll continue to grow in his second year in the majors, especially in that powerful Orioles lineup, where they're going to be contending for the AL East title this year.
Yes, they are. That's a wrap. I'm round two. What do we got here? Looking at this, I think the big thing that jumps out to me is all the damn Braves.
Yeah. Yep. There's a lot. I mean, when you got that kind of lineup and that kind of team, dude.
Hell yeah. That's what you want to invest in. All right. Moving right along. We are on to round three. How quickly the draft goes. First pick, I'm going with Rafael Devers, third baseman there, up with the Boston Red Sox. This dude is as consistent as they come. Had a little dip in his batting average last year, but I expect him to rebound from that nicely. Pencil him in for 30 home runs, 90 RBIs. Runs scored is kind of going to be up in the air just because of the team context and how some of their younger guys progress. But all in all, here to start the third round, I think he's a great pick.
I agree. Next one I really like too, Francisco Lindor with the Mets shortstop. One of four players to have a 30-30 season last year. All the other ones are inside the first few picks of the draft. I think this is great value for him there. I don't think there's anything to suggest too much regression this year. I guess some concerns about the lineup with the Mets, but they did improve in the offseason a bit. So I like him here too.
All right. Third pick, third round. We're going down to Texas. Marcus Semien. This is a dude who never misses a damn game. He's over the past few years led the league in hits and plate appearances and at-bats. And he's not just taking up space out there either. He's got some pop in his bat. He'll drive in some runs. Another fantastic offense. Sign me up.
Yeah, good one. Next one. Getting some pitchers coming along. Zach Wheeler with the Phillies. Number six starting pitcher last season in fantasy. Signed a big contract this offseason. One of the better pitchers, top fantasy pitchers, I think. Supreme confidence if you take him as your ace on your fantasy team.
Speaking of aces, I'm going to go to Seattle, George Kirby. I think this year you're going to see his strikeout totals come up a little bit. I think he's going to surpass 200 innings. And the thing that I absolutely love about him is he doesn't walk anybody. Giving up free passes is a great way to turn those into earned runs. And he just does not do it.
Next up, Mr. Breakable. Corey Seager with the Rangers. Only played in 119 games last season. Still was the number six shortstop in fantasy as well. Had 33 home runs. I really like him. I know the injuries are a concern. You'd love to see a season closer to 150 games played, because if he did that, it'd be absolutely insane what he did last season in those games.
You'd be talking about an all-time great season. Seventh pick in the third round, Vlad Guerrero Jr. I don't know of any other way to describe last year other than a disappointment. He put up the 40 home runs a couple of years ago, has not come close to matching that. And I think everybody's kind of scratching their head, wondering what's going on. At the same time, once a baseball player demonstrates a skill, they own it. I think there's 40 home runs in his bat there somewhere. Don't necessarily know if it's going to be this year, but he's still a very important piece of a pretty damn decent offense.
Going 32 overall, eighth pick in the third round, Luis Robert with the White Sox. I don't think you can go wrong. If this guy could just stay healthy, he could be a top 10 fantasy outfielder, I think. Some concerns there about the team there in Chicago, but I think he's a solid pick in the early rounds as long as he can stay off the injured list.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of injured list, next up, going 33 overall, Dodgers pitcher Tyler Glasnow. This dude, if he could give you 160 innings, you're looking at probably a Cy Young campaign. I'm not going to draft him expecting 160 innings. What I am expecting is somewhere around 120 innings of absolutely elite production.
I agree. Next up, number 10 in the third round. Sorry, Pablo Lopez. Really love him as well with the Twins. Number 14 starting pitcher last season. Not very flashy as well, but I think he offers stellar stats and that consistency that you look for in fantasy. Already been named the opening day starter like 3 months ago, I believe. I think he's definitely an ideal SP1, especially if you loaded up on a lot of hitters early.
Absolutely. All right. Coming in at 35 overall, penultimate pick of the third round, CJ Abrams, shortstop from the Nationals. Quite frankly, we're talking about a dude with 20-50 upside. He has the elite prospect pedigree, and you know he's going to be hitting towards the top of a Nationals lineup that they could surprise some people this year. They've got some talent there, some young talent.
Some young talent. Last pick in the third round, Luis Castillo with the Mariners. Kind of like him, getting kind of older there, 31, I guess. But what do you think about him?
You know, he's somebody who it was great for him to get out of Cincinnati and not have to pitch in that ballpark anymore. I mean, he went from the worst ballpark for pitchers to the best, and he fits in very well in that rotation there in Seattle. They've got a lot of young guys, and he provides them the veteran leadership they need. He'll give you the strikeouts. He'll give you a nice workable ERA. Doesn't walk too many dudes. He's pretty much exactly what you're looking for in a high-end SP2, low-end SP1.
Excellent.
All right. Wow. Round three is a wrap. Looking at this, what do you see, buddy?
Pitchers.
Yes.
Yep. A lot of pitchers.
We were talking Tuesday on the stream with old Uncle Ted, and he was talking about waiting on pitcher until after the 10th round. It takes a lot of intestinal fortitude to watch those pitching runs come and go, and you're just sitting there with a damn empty pen. All right. Round four, we're moving right along here.
Okay.
Top of the fourth round, Adelis Garcia, outfielder for the Rangers. He's a dude, he gives you the power, he gives you the run production, both in runs driven in and runs scored. The batting average is going to leave a bit to be desired. And he doesn't run as much as he used to. I think if he still had the stolen base upside, you're talking about a guy who goes about a round and a half higher.
Yeah. Next up, pick two in round four, Bo Bichette with the Blue Jays, number 14 shortstop last season. He's a career 299 hitter, so almost 300. He's only 26 years old. I think he's probably the seventh shortstop off the board, if I remember. But I think he can definitely top, you know, somebody like Gunner,
sure,
De La Cruz, even Corey Seager, because he's likely to be injured. So I think the ADP here is, you know, pick here is justified, especially with his well average production across the board.
Yeah. So my pick 39, number three in the fourth round, Tigers pitcher Tarek Skubal. He come back from injury last year in the second half of the season. Quite frankly, he was the best pitcher in the league. I'm looking for that to carry over into this season. Now, am I saying he's going to be the finishes the SP1? Absolutely not. But at the same time, I think he is a good shot to finish as a top five SP.
Yeah, next up, overall 40th, Yamamoto there with the Dodgers.
Boy, his ass got touched
up. That's basically what I was going to say, is he got chased in the first inning there. I think he gave up a quick five yesterday against the Dodgers there in South Korea. And you got to pick him somewhere. It's early in the season. I think you'll see things shake out for him positively.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not concerned at all. All right. Next up, we got Randy Arozarena, outfielder from the Rays. This dude, he's kind of similar to Adelise Garcia. He runs a little bit more than Adelise does, but he doesn't quite have the same pop in his bat. Another damn good offense down there in Tampa is going to give you plenty of run production. He's a pretty good value here at this point in the fourth.
Next up, Royce Lewis with the Twins, right?
Yep.
Yep. had a pretty good season last year. Only played in 58 games, unfortunately. How do you feel about him there up in Minnesota?
For him, it's going to come down to injuries and whether or not his ass can stay on the field. He's got all the talent in the world, but it doesn't do you any good if he's on the IL. So next up, we got old man Jose Altuve. Even at 47 years old or however old he is, he still produces. There's still 20 home runs in the bat. Doesn't run like he used to, but he's still going to give you a good average and good on-base percentage. And you know, second base is one of those iffy positions this year as well. So I'm happy to have him here, you know, towards the middle of the fourth round.
Sure. He fell a little bit.
He did.
In this, you know, I definitely should have went probably a little bit earlier, but next up, Zach Gallen from the Diamondbacks, next here at pick 8 in the fourth round. We had a conversation about staying away from Zach Gallen.
Yes. Just with the number of innings that he threw last year and then an extended run in the playoffs, who knows what he's going to be like this year. I always tend to think about running backs who get just an enormous workload and then their production tends to fall off the next year. Not necessarily saying this is going to be the case for Zach Gallen, but don't be surprised if you see some regression. And now we are going to bust the seal on catcher Adley Rutschman of Baltimore. Dude gives you everything you want in a hitter, let alone at the catcher position. He is, I don't want to say head and shoulders above Contreras for, you know, the best overall catcher. But at the same time, that's a young, ascending team. Just that lineup is absolutely loaded with elite prospects and talent. And, you know, he's like the elder statesman on the team. He's been around for a minute. One of the best in the business. I'm happy to have him here.
Next up, pick 10 in round 4, pitcher Kevin Gausman for the Blue Jays. He's somebody I targeted this year. I couldn't get him in the auction draft. I was actually kind of bummed. What's your take on him?
He's the strikeout machine. Yeah. I do have some concern about the shoulder injury. Anytime I hear shoulder, it always worries me, right? You know, he's calling it a little bit of dead arm, which is fine. I'm going to trust him at this point in his career to understand his body and understand his arm and to let the team know what he needs. If he misses a couple starts, I'm not really concerned with it. At the end of the year, he's still going to give you, you know, the nice ratios. He's going to win more than 10 games and he should go north of 200 strikeouts. You sure there?
I'm here.
All right, next up we got Logan Webb. This dude is an innings eater, doesn't strike out as many guys as you would like, but at the same time he's going to give you 215 innings, and if he gives you that many innings, he's going to get you 200 strikeouts. He doesn't walk anybody. He's a ground ball machine, and even at this point in this draft, I'm perfectly fine having him as my SP1.
Yeah. Last pick in the fourth round, Cody Bellinger, back with the Cubs again. This guy's great. Still young, 28, gets on base over 35% of the time. I think he only walked about 40 times last year in over 500 plate appearances. Gives you that stolen base upside, 20 or more. And I think 25 home runs, always in contention for 100 RBIs and 100 runs. maybe you should temper expectations a little bit for a repeat performance, but I think where he's going is just about right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now let's take a look at round four. Any trends? What do we got here? We got more pitching coming off the board. Some injured pitching too. When you look at Kevin Gausman, Zach Gallen, don't want to call it question marks, but it's, you know, it's something to keep in the back of your mind. Maybe in your drafts, he falls a little bit further. I think if he goes much further than this though, then I would absolutely be happy to snag it. All right.
That's weird.
We are on to round five. First pick, Edwin Diaz, closer for the Mets. Missed all last season. He said, you know, if the Mets weren't a pile of hot garbage, he could have come back towards September, but they weren't playing for shit, so he wasn't playing. He steps in this year as you know, most people's number one closer, especially with Devin Williams hurt. He's a decent value here. I think taking a closer beginning of the fifth round, maybe is jumping the gun a hair, but not a whole hell of a lot.
Next up, shortstop O'Neill Cruz from the Pirates. This is the kind of guy I like too, but I'm always worried about that offense there in Pittsburgh. How do you feel like he's going to fit in this year with them fantasy-wise?
I think he's going to fit in just fine. You're concerned about the offense. That's the kind of cat that can generate offense all on his own.
Excellent.
All right. We got another pitcher coming off the board at 51 overall, Framber Valdez of the Houston Astros. Another dude who really showed out last year, keeps the ball on the ground, doesn't have the huge elite strikeout rate, but gets you more than his fair share, and he's going to keep you in pretty much every game. If you get points for quality starts, he's a dude that you're going to want to have in there for you.
Yeah, next up I chose Aaron Nola, another pitcher here, with the Phillies. Dude, he's one of the most durable guys in the league. I think he's only second to Gerrit Cole in innings pitched since 2018. The bad does struggle with the long ball, but you got to take the good with the bad sometimes there in fantasy. I like him this year.
Yep, he's nice. You know what? Let's get another hitter off the board. I'm going to go with Mr. Consistent, Manny Machado, out there in San Diego. You look up. No matter at what point in the season you're in, you think, man, is this dude close to done? Absolutely not, because end of September, he's got you 30 home runs. He's got you 90 RBIs or more. He's got you 80 to 85 runs, halfway decent average. He'll draw a walk. The guy is just consistent as hell, and when you're building your team, you need the upside guys, and you need dudes with a high floor, and Manny is going to give you that.
Yeah, next up, pick six in the fifth. Are we in the fifth round? Yep, fifth round. Freddy Peralta, guy I had on my fantasy team last year, really liked him. Never going to be, great in category leagues like for ERA. It's always going to be a little elevated, but the other things he can do, you know, a whip at 1.11 last year is pretty exciting. Pitched 30 games, solid. And Brewers are a good young team. Lots of, there's some veterans there too, as well, obviously, but. I like Peralta.
Yeah, and they do a hell of a job developing pitching there. They do. Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, you know, he's hurt. Freddy Peralta, obviously. Next up, outfielder for the Rockies, Nolan Jones. He's a dude who's been tantalizing people. You know, he's got the power and the speed. You love the ballpark out there. There is a bit of unknown with him. There is a bit of speculation with him, just given his limited number of time in the show. But he's got all the potential there, and he's got some pop in his bat.
Next, is this our first closer?
No, Edwin Diaz.
Oh, we had Diaz, yep. So next up, Hader. Signed that free agent deal with Houston. Had 33 saves last year. Can't go wrong with that guy. Definitely going to be one of the top relief pitchers, closers in the league.
Sure. Now we're getting towards the bottom of the round here. 57 overall, going with Nico Horner of the Chicago Cubs. He's a dude who's going to get on base. Doesn't really offer a whole hell of a lot of power. He'll leg out some doubles there. But he's going to give you 40-plus stolen bases, a halfway decent average. He's going to score runs that Cubs offense is looking like it's going to be halfway decent.
Next up, Max Fried, pitcher for the Braves. Really, how could you go wrong with a pitcher for the Braves with that offense and getting run production? Had a pretty good season last year. I know you're a big Braves fan. How do you feel about him compared to, you know, his teammate Strider?
Well, I mean, Strider is obviously significantly better than him. Fried reminds me a lot of Logan Webb, keeps the ball on the ground. He isn't going to give you the 200 plus innings, but he will give you 150 to 160 damn good innings. All right. Towards the bottom of the round here, I'm sure you folks have been waiting to hear this name, Mike Trout, outfielder from the Angels. Look, at this point, he's not what he used to be. And it's because of injuries. He's had a lot of back injuries, and that really saps the power. You know, we're talking about a dude that hasn't played 140 plus games in a season since like 2019, or he's done it once in the past 4 years, something like that. Dude's just not on the field. But when he is, gives you elite production. If you can coax 140 games out of him, he might just give you a 35 home run season.
And last pick in the fifth round, Jazz Chisholm Jr. I still always want to say that. The guy doesn't play enough. You know, he's been injured the last two seasons. He's only played 157 games in the last 2 years. If he stays healthy, definitely potential for 2020 season, along with, you know, 70, 80 RBIs and runs. So I like him here.
Yeah, he's not a bad pick. What is that? Fifth round is a wrap. Halfway through. Let's get that up on the screen. Taking a look here. More pitching coming off the board. You got to look out for them runs. We saw the introduction of a couple closers. I think it's a hair early, but it's not ridiculously early. And you're seeing also, you know, some stolen base guys and Jazz Chisholm and Nico Horner. Even O'Neill Cruz, shit, he might give you a 20-30 season. So there's still some value to be had here in round five.
We got Dubo in the chat. Not sure if this will make sense, but comparing this draft to NFL, how much value do you put on middle round drafted players versus how good of an offense the team has?
So the team context is going to be important. You have to get on base to be driven in. And you're... like the saying holds true for baseball as it does in football, you're not going to win your draft in the first couple of rounds. You're going to win your draft later on when you find the guys that you get positive equity from, the dudes who outperform their draft position and you end up with a profit. That's where you really make your hay. Team context is important, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, the players do have the ability to affect their own outcome. You know, if you hit a home run, you hit a home run, and that's you. So you get the you get the hit, you get the home run, you get the run scored, you get the RBI. So they do have some, you know, we'll call it direct input. Hope that makes sense, brother. All right, we're going to start out the sixth round. First pick in the sixth round, I'm taking another Seattle pitcher. Give me Logan Gilbert. This is another dude who limits his walks. He is a fantastic young pitcher. He'll give you more strikeouts than George Kirby and a few more innings. And part of it is just because he's got more experience in the big leagues. Here at the beginning of round six, if I had to have him as my SP1, I'd deal with it. I'm not thrilled. I'd be much happier to have him as my SP2.
Absolutely. Pick two, Grayson Rodriguez. Speaking of SP2, I'd be happy to have him as well. Had some issues last year, but really did have a strong finish to the year. In his final 13 starts, he had a 2.58 ERA. Throws the ball really damn fast.
Yes, he does.
So with the support there, run support there in Baltimore, look for him to get some wins this season and become one of the pitchers of the future here in the major leagues.
Absolutely. Next up, 63 overall, we're going to the Brew Crew, talking about Christian Yelich. Still a dude who has fantastic extra base power. There is a bit of concern, at least on my part, that he's hitting a lot more ground balls than he used to. And hitting nowhere near the amount of fly balls he did when he was putting up 40 home runs. He's kind of reverting back to the player he was with the Marlins before he got traded, but that was still a damn good player.
Absolutely. Next up, Emmanuel Clase, coming off another strong season last year. One of the top, you know, closers in this league. I don't think anyone will hesitate to draft him as one of the top bullpen options this year.
I wouldn't be surprised his ass got moved, too. He's on a cheap contract. All right, next up, William Contreras of the Contreras catching family. It seems like there's as many Contreras's catching as there were Alomars back in the day and Molinas, or it could just be a common last name. He really broke out last year and had a fantastic campaign. I certainly did not expect to see him put up the numbers that he did. You know, at this point, there's only been one other catcher off the board, and it's generally these two who are the consensus top two. So give me that second one here a round and a half later.
And then we'll do a little short run of catchers. JT Realmuto next with pick 66 overall. Finished number five catcher last season. Not going to be, you know, the top option anymore. His run as the number one guy in fantasy is over. But still offers value there in the double-digit home run and steals.
Next up, we got Camilo Doval out there playing in San Francisco, their closer. Dude is an elite option. Led the league in saves last year. He's out there all the damn time. He does give up a long ball here and there, but not too much so as to, you know, be a big cause of concern. If I haven't taken one of the higher end closers already and I'm looking to pull the trigger here, he's a damn good option to take.
Next up, Zach Eflin. Man, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. He's good. I know that you were high on him this year. So I picked him eighth in this round, 68 overall. He's had plenty of success in pitching and in fantasy, and of course the Rays do a wonderful job as well, similar like the Brewers in developing their pitchers. I don't think you can go wrong with Eflin.
Nope. Next up, number 69. Nice. Kyle Schwarber. Now this is a dude, he struggled to get across the Mendoza line last year at points and really the whole damn season, but if you're an on-base percentage league, you're happy to have him. And you know, the power output is just ridiculous. He's a damn good bet to lead the league in home runs this year. Happy to have him here.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, Bobby Miller. How do you feel about him? Do you consider him a sleeper? Well, I know we talked about there isn't
really sleepers anymore, but the dude throws absolute gas. The Dodgers, for a while there, it seemed like they were just calling up pitchers left and damn right. And their rotation has definitely been dealt some blows with some injuries. I wouldn't be surprised if they ran a six-man rotation. And if they do that, don't really count on any two-start weeks from it. But he's a young dude, throws absolute gas, and he's got a lot of upside.
So you want to go next on Blake Snell there?
Yeah, I was wondering what the hell you were saying.
Oh,
nothing. You just said for no reason.
Not sure.
Next up, 71 overall, Blake Snell. Just signed with the San Francisco Giants. That is an amazing park for him to pitch in. We know what he's like when he's on. He's a Cy Young winner. In the years when he doesn't win a Cy Young award, he's pretty damn average. He gives you an elite strikeout upside, but he doesn't really work too far into games because he loves to walk people.
And then the final pick of the round, pitcher Cole Reagans with the Royals. Man, he really did some stuff there when he got traded there last season. I really feel high on him. I think he probably went a little bit earlier than normal. It feels like he was in the 90 range before. But and I think Kauffman's a great place for him to pitch. Mm-hmm. And the defense there behind him, I think they were 27 outs above average last season. So that'll help keep his numbers down, and keep his fantasy points up.
Yeah. Ohtani is going to jail. Uncle Ted in the house. Yeah, we talked about that at the top of the show. And then again, once I turned the mic on, it certainly looks strange when you've got a story changing like that. And it almost sounds like the truth came out first, and then the lawyers heard the truth and said, no, retract that statement. But, you know, it's a felony at minimum for what he did. Oh, yeah. I believe it's considered wire fraud because it was a transfer of funds to pay for an illegal activity. Because sports wagering is illegal in California.
It's crazy. One of the biggest states don't have it yet. Same with Texas, Florida.
Well, there was, they put it on the ballot a few years back, and there was a lot of opposition from Native American casinos, and there was a lot of hands in the pot there trying to get things going. All right. You ready to jump into the seventh round?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. First pick in the seventh round, Gleyber Torres. Been around for a minute. He showed real promise early in his career, his first couple seasons up there with the Yankees, and then he kind of hit the skids. Hadn't really done a whole hell of a lot the past few years, but he really seems like he's rediscovered himself. He's going to have a prominent spot in a much improved Yankees lineup, and considering where he's going, sign me up.
Next up, Raisel Iglesias with the Braves. Pretty good. What do you feel about him?
I mean, he's closer on the Braves, one of the best teams in baseball.
Plenty of opportunities for save chances and holds.
Third pick in the seventh round, and this dude has been rocketing up draft boards over the past 3 to 4 weeks, talking about Wyatt Langford. The dude just crushed it in the minors. He's been doing fantastic here throughout spring training. He's going to pair up with Adelise Garcia and Evan Carter out there in the Rangers outfield. The dude is a sweet swinging righty coming out of the University of Florida. I think he's going to make a big impact this year.
Heck yeah. Number 76 overall, Ha-Seong Kim with the Padres. He was a number 10 second baseman last season. I think he's valuable too because he's got multi-position eligibility as well. I think there's still improvement for, you know, his batting average and stuff, but guy actually just kills left-handed pitching.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's fantastic. We got another catcher going off the board here. Fifth pick in the seventh round, Will Smith of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't think he's going to get as many at-bats as he got last season because you've got Ohtani there to occupy the DH spot. But the time when he's in, he's going to be hitting cleanup in that order. Absolutely sign me up for that. He's one of the best catching options there is. He's not quite at Adley Rutschman level, but he's that next tier below. We got Loud Boy in the house. Fellas, what's going on, brother? Hope you're enjoying some March Madness, a little bit of college hoops. Appreciate you coming through.
Next pick, Brian Reynolds, outfielder with the Pirates, coming off a pretty good season. Career highs and smacking the shit out of the ball last year. He's had three seasons now of 24 or more home runs. That's a pretty damn good floor for him. I like him.
Yep. Next up, Jesus Luzardo, a dude who's been long on potential, but kind of short on results. And you're still, he's a spec pick. He's got all the upside and talent in the world. We're just kind of waiting for him to put it all together.
And next up, Mr. Old Guy, Paul Goldschmidt, 36 years old. I mean, just two seasons ago, he won NL MVP, but homers, RBIs, all those things went down last season. But there's still consistent production. You're just not going to get those 100 RBIs, 30 home runs, but he'll be close. If you're looking for a repeat of last season, it's probably a safe bet here.
Got Anthony in the house. What's up, Matt and Kyle? Just getting in. Missed the Ohtani talk. Yep. We were talking about it earlier, how that's just kind of a shady-sounding situation. And you know, based on my experience, when the story changes, especially as quickly as it changed, there's smoke there somewhere. And I think it sounds to me, and this is just baseless speculation on my part, you know, this following statement does not necessarily reflect the views of the Stoned on Sports podcast or Kyle here next to me.
No.
I think the interpreter is taking the fall for Otani. He realized he fucked up saying, oh, he lent me the money to pay off my gambling debts. And here we are. Seems to have his own Greg Anderson. That's a name I have not heard in a while. Thank you for that trip down memory lane, Anthony. That dude will go to the grave for Otani. Sure. I mean, absolutely. They've been close ever since Otani came here stateside. You know, it's not like it's just a strictly professional relationship. They're damn good friends.
Friends, right.
All right. Where are we at? Where do we leave off? Oh, all right. 81st overall. I'm going to go with Alex Bregman, Mr. Steady Eddie there in Houston. You know, while he doesn't give you the high 30s home run upside that he did earlier in his career, he's got an elite eye at the plate. His walks and strikeouts are generally about equal and have been over the past couple seasons. And this is another dude that's in a walk year. It's not like he has anything to prove, but I think he's going to try and get paid one last time.
Agreed. He is kind of boring, but he is good. Yep. Next up, pick 10, Alexis Diaz, closer with the Reds. Had him on my team last year, had 37 saves. I don't see that happening this year. I'd say somewhere in the 17 to 22 range. I think it could be that high, but we'll see. Did pretty well, but then would have some issues where he completely blew up and lost the fucking game, and that shit pissed me off.
Well, yes. We got Anthony back. Don't want to get the video off track. Thanks. There's no such thing, brother. We're here to interact with you, whatever you guys want to talk about. We just set the general theme, but if you have questions or other things you want to discuss, we're happy to do it. All right, getting towards the end here, the seventh round, we've got Boston Red Sox first baseman Tristan Casas. This dude, you could look at him a couple of years from now, and he may end up being the number one overall first baseman or you know, with any luck, in contention with Spencer Torkelson of our Detroit Tigers to be the number one overall first baseman. Boatload of talent. He can do everything that you want, and I think he's a good fit there at Fenway Park as well.
Last pick in the seventh round, Christian Walker with the Diamondbacks first baseman. Pretty much, you know, entrenched himself there as the cleanup hitter there. I think he's pretty good value there. I think his ADP is around 88. And the guy plays every year, very durable, played 160 games in 22 and 157 last year. I think he's probably still the cheapest of the top first baseman options, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to bitch about 30 home runs at the end of the seventh round.
No.
Speaking of the end of the seventh round, do a little post-mortem, take a look. I think the big thing that jumps out to me is we had a little mini run, excuse me, on the back end of first base there with Christian Walker, Casas, and Goldschmidt all going in the back half of that round. Wyatt Langford continues his trek up the board. All right, we're going to start round eight. I'm going with Spencer Steer, Mr. Do-It-All for the Cincinnati Reds. I saw he was getting a start here at second base with Matt McClain being hurt. He's somebody I've got on my team. He's eligible at first, second, third, and outfield, I think. He can do it all. There's a little pop in his bat. I don't think there is a whole lot of opportunity for upside to what he posted last year, but if he can duplicate that result, I'm going to be happy with that.
Next up, I already forgot. Joe Ryan, second pick, my bad. 86 overall with the Twins. Did you get him?
Yes.
Thought you did.
Sure did.
Strikeout pitcher, man. Among pitchers with 160 innings last season, fifth with a strikeout rate of 29.3. The bad part there, extreme fly ball pitcher, does allow hard contact, gives up some home runs. Kind of reminds me of Nola a little bit as well, but I still think it'd be good. This is a good spot for him.
For sure. All right. 87 overall. We're going back to the Dodgers. Their closer, Evan Phillips. This is going to be another synopsis similar to Raisel Iglesias, closer on the best team in baseball. He may not have the same opportunity that, you know, somebody like Devin Williams would have just because you would expect the Brewers to be playing more close games. But at the same time, give me the closer on the team that I think is going to win the most games.
Next up, Justin Steele. I really like this guy. I had him last year on my fantasy team. He was the 12th pitcher in fantasy last season. Was even in the Cy Young conversation for much of the season as well. But elite control, very good strikeout rate, and just walked 5% of the batters he faced. I think that was put him in top 7% of the league. He's also a guy that keeps the ball in the park, too, with a .73 home run per nine innings. He's just a two-pitch starter, so that's kind of tough. I think some regression's in store this season, but I'm still high on him as well.
Yep. Next up, another starting pitcher, Dylan Cease, recently traded to the San Diego Padres. I'm sure he was happy to get away from the White Sox. This is a dude with elite strikeout upside, but you're going to see a bloated ERA. He's got some things to figure out, but he's still young, and it is a nice little improvement in park factor as well.
Next up, Nolan Arenado, third baseman with the Cardinals. Only played 144 games last season. I know only, it's not very the right term, but that was the lowest of his career. I don't know. 32 years old, remarkably durable, but got a lot of wear and tear on his body. The spot feels about right too, but I think the Cardinals as a team last year, that could have been better.
They could have been. I don't know. Piss on them. Next up, Paul Sewald, going with another closer. He's pretty damn consistent. On a good franchise, he's going to have plenty of opportunity for saves. He'll give you a few strikeouts. Ratios will be a little bit high, but nothing that you can't deal with.
Yeah. Bogaerts, been around for a while. 10 years in the league, declining speed, declining contact metrics as well. But 19 stolen bases can still help. That was his highest mark since 2017. I think I'd probably get 12 or 15 again this year, but and he's going pretty much where he in a lot of NFBC drafts.
Nice. We got Anthony in. Do we have an updated closer list? Not all around relief pitchers, just closers. We do not, but that is not an awful idea either. I think maybe we can work on that and get something out early next week. In the meantime, Closer Monkey is a fantastic resource to use for that. Thank you, Anthony. Where do we leave off? Oh, Teoscar Hernandez, outfielder for the Dodgers. If this dude didn't strike out so damn much, he'd be an MVP candidate. You're going to deal with the strikeouts and, you know, something to keep in mind in points leagues is there's a lot of leagues will penalize for strikeouts. So you're going to want to make sure that you take that into consideration as you are setting your team up. But he's a fantastic option. A ball absolutely flies out of Dodger Stadium as well.
Outfielder Evan Carter with the Rangers. I like this cat very, very much. Came up last year, did very well in the playoffs as well. Hit 300, 417, 500 for a 917 OPS. I just remember watching him in the playoffs last year. He was damn exciting. Only hit one home run there in the World Series, or not World Series, but the wild card. But how could you not want to take a Ranger? There's just so many good players there. Mm-hmm. Going to be a top five offense. Love them.
All right. Next up, almost done with the round. We're going back to Houston, Yiner Diaz. And I know, Uncle Ted, you're big on him from your comments there on our catcher preview. And getting him at this point with his power upside feels like free money.
Uh-huh. What else? You could keep talking because all right. Next up, Suzuki with help me out here.
Seiya Suzuki, outfielder with the Cubs.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Shit. That's who I'm picking next. Last round or last pick in the eighth round there.
No rationale because Kyle's not ready for it.
Nope.
All right. Round eight wrapped up. This was an interesting round. I think Yiner Diaz was a decent value here. Bogarts and is, you know, one of those steady Eddies. And now we're starting to get into the point of the draft where, you know, we've got people and they've got warts. They're not going to be five category contributors. Maybe they're only going to be two or three category contributors, but they've all got a role to play. Round nine. We're almost done, buddy. I'm going to start it off with Lane Thomas. Had a fantastic season last year with the Nationals. He's going to give you 2020 upside at minimum. I think he had 28 home runs last year. There's a chance with a little bit of improved plate discipline and really just some more overall consistent playing time. Maybe he can get you 30 home runs. He's going to be somewhere in that range, you know, we'll call it 23 to 30 home runs, 18 to 20 stolen bases. And if I can get a 2020 type player at this point in the draft, I'm very happy to do so.
Next up, pitcher Joe Musgrove with the Padres. I know he had definitely going to be a solid number three starter, I think. Carries a little more risk because of the shoulder injury as well. I think he'd do pretty well. A lot of strikeouts, 163 strikeouts and 160 innings pitched, I think. So I think he'd average one an inning.
Yeah. Anthony's back in. Lane Thomas has been stealing like crazy in spring training. I'll take it. And to think just last year, he was, I think, an early May waiver wire pickup for me. And he finished somewhere around that high-end outfielder two, low-end outfielder one spot. Very happy to get that off waivers, and I picked him up again this year in my home league. Moving on, third pick in the ninth round, Detroit Tigers first baseman Spencer Torkelson. Last year, he took the leap that everybody was looking to him to take, 30 home runs. He drove in 90. He is, you know, slated to be the centerpiece of that Tigers offense for years to come. I like the pairing with him and Riley Green as well, a couple of young guys coming up together. I think the run production, you know, matching what he did last year, I think is towards the best case outcome for him. But the power is definitely going to be there.
Next up, Bednar with the Pirates. Having some injury issues this spring as well. Still one of the better closers, 39 saves last year. I picked him because I think he'll still be pitching. Like the injury is not that bad, just lat tightness.
Sure. The concern with him is getting traded and becoming a setup guy and no longer closing.
Right.
All right. Fifth pick, ninth round, Chris Sale is another dude who's been coming up draft boards. He's looked pretty good this spring. Velo is up early in the spring. Everybody knows at this point the concern with him is injuries. With him, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Next up, Nick Castellanos with the Phillies. I don't think he's worth a top 100 pick, but I picked him at 102, so pretty close.
Justifies that opinion.
It certainly does. I know ADP and FBC is usually about 104, so I think great supporting cast there in Philly. Going to yield plenty of run scoring and run producing opportunities.
All right. Next up at 103, we're talking about Ketel Marte. This is a dude who's been another guy who's been consistent over the past few years. He'll give you some home runs. He'll swipe a bag. He's got some nice extra base power. He can drive in some runs. He's going to score plenty of runs. Just an overall solid dude to grab at this point in the draft.
Pick 104 overall, second baseman Bryson Stott with the Phillies. Like him too. He probably helped you win some fantasy leagues last season. If you picked him off of waivers, I'm sure. Finished the number 10 second baseman and projective lineups, you know, when you're batting second, they're behind Schwarber and in front of Turner, that's a good spot to be. Second base is kind of shallow. I think he's a good value and potential breakout candidate.
Yes, he is. Who do we got up next? Jordan Walker, one of the elite prospects, and not only just fantasy, but all of baseball. He's got that 80 grade power. The dude, he's got the light tower power. he had, you know, we don't want to call it a full year last year, but he had a significant amount of games played this year, I think, or last year. I think it's only going to help make him better this year. You know, at this point in the draft, you've got somebody who, I'm not going to say he's going to hit 40 home runs this year, but he's got 40 home runs in his bat at some point. That would be this year, but I think he will safely be in the mid-20s pushing for 30.
Just realized I spelled Tanner's name wrong. Pick 10, Tanner Bibby, Cleveland Guardian starting pitcher, was runner-up to Henderson for AL Rookie of the Year last year, 24 years old, young guy. Consistent season last year. I like him a lot as well. I think at this ADP, he's worth the investment.
He is, and Cleveland has a well-earned reputation of being able to develop pitching, so you know he's in good hands there. All right, 11th pick in the 9th round, Andrés Muñoz, closer for Seattle. This is a team that should contend for the AL West crown, plays in a fantastic ballpark, and that's a team with some young talent, excellent starting rotation, and a pretty good bullpen overall to get the ball from the starters to him to close the games out.
And Andrés, again, last pick in the 9th round, Jimenez with the Guardians. I think he's fairly priced as far as second baseman goes. Showing promise as a fantasy option with that stolen bases and that power.
All right, we wrapped it up. Big thing that jumps out, 2 Andreses.
Yep, right at the bottom. It's like we planned it.
Mm-hmm. I thought there was some nice values in this round, getting Lane Thomas and Nick Castellanos here in the 9th round. Those are both dudes that can contribute for you in multiple ways. And a couple of young dudes as well who are just starting to come into their own. All right. Now we move on to the last round of this mock draft, the 10th round. Number 109, I'm going with Josh Lowe of the Tampa Bay Rays. He's hurt, but he shouldn't be out for too long. And this is a dude who gave you 20-30 last season. Just depending on how much time he misses, I think a repeat of that is not at all out of the question. At the same time, Tampa is a team that loves their platoon, so it's something you need to have in the back of your mind.
Number 2, George Springer with the Blue Jays. Getting older, didn't have a great season last year as well, so he remains a risky bet coming off the career worst season, but still likely going to be the leadoff hitter there in Toronto. You'll suit him as a, you know, outfield 4, upside maybe 3, low outfielder 3, but he's got to go somewhere. He's still going to give you value. I think his ADP is at 115, so I stretched a little bit there, but going to give you some production.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? It's pick 110.
All right, Anthony back in the chat. Okay, where do we get the SOS hats? It's a pretty dope hat, isn't it? Had some. We're all out. I got to get some more ordered. Once I do, I'll make sure to update everybody here on the episode, and we can get all the details out to you. We would be absolutely thrilled if there was someone other than me and Kyle rocking this hat.
Heck yeah. Yeah, send us an email, and if you're interested, we'll order some more and work out a payment.
Yeah. All right.
Next. They're expensive. You might need a payment plan. Yes. No, just kidding.
18 easy payments at $9.99.
Right.
All right, next up. Anthony Volpe, he come up last year, batting average was just ass, but he gives you the 2020 upside that you want, especially in the 10th round. You know, he's a well-regarded prospect, and the Yankees are going to give him a very long leash, just like they did last year. If he can improve his on-base skills just a little bit, he's going to be somebody who may even find his way hitting at the top of the Yankees order instead of at the bottom.
Pick 112 overall. I like this young guy, Jackson Churio with the Brewers. Shortstop, really quick bat, I think, which leads to, you know, more power than you would expect. I like him in especially redraft leagues. I know we're talking about points leagues, but you know, ahead of guys like Yoshida, Mountcastle, Varsho, Starling Marte, just the potential of this guy in the Brewers system. Yeah. Kip's got his. Yeah.
All right, next up, we heard him referenced earlier. We're talking about Matt McClain. He's dealing with a shoulder injury, and this is a dude who has yo-yoed up and down draft boards seemingly draft season. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. It was a dislocation, and one thing about shoulder injuries and specifically dislocations is once it happens once, it's more likely to happen again. Still don't know what's going on with him. Is he going to have surgery? Is he going on the IL? I did see that Cincinnati acquired another middle infielder just in case. So we'll see what happens.
Another middle infielder.
Another.
114 overall, sixth pick in the 10th round. Johan Duren from the Twins. Great closer. Had 27 saves last year. Has a career 33% strikeout rate. Also dealing with the injury oblique, so entering the season on the 15-day IL. It's a moderate strain, so you know, don't be shocked if it's more than the minimum 15 days.
Mm-hmm. We got Unk in the chat. What's going on, bro? Get this mouse to work. Chaz McCormick and Jung Ho Lee. Chaz McCormick, he's been a dude who is, he's been on everybody's sleeper list all season. Maybe he's on mine as well. Just want to remind folks that we have one spot left in our podcast listener league. We're drafting on Sunday, and if you can find your way in, maybe you'll see where I'm looking to take Chaz McCormick. Next up, we got another Twinkie, Bailey Ober. He's a dude, he seems like he's on the cusp of putting it all together. He's got to work on the home runs. He doesn't strike out as many dudes as you would like. He's not trash at it. Uh-huh. Don't get me wrong. He's right there. And I think this could be his year, quite frankly, and especially where you're getting him, there's a great opportunity for profit.
I agree. Chris Bassett. Next up, pick 116 overall with the Blue Jays. Lost my train of thought there. Really is not a huge strikeout pitcher, obviously, but he more than makes up with it with that 7.1% walk rate. We put them runners on for free, man. It sucks when it costs you a lot of points. But I think he's more or less a secondhand version of Logan Webb and really embodies the tenets of a points league starter.
Sure. He's going to eat innings. He's full of this shit.
Yep.
Next up, we just got four more picks to go. Pete Fairbanks, closer for Tampa Bay. He's a very effective dude. I'm a little bit leery of taking any closers with Tampa Bay, though, because they love to play that game of musical chairs, and they will use their entire bullpen any which way in order to get the win.
Dansby Swanson, Chicago Stubbs, Chicago Cubs shortstop. He's produced at least 22 homers, 80 RBIs, and 78 runs in each of the past three seasons. You know, nothing exciting about him, just solid fantasy production.
Yep. Speaking of solid fantasy production, Zach Geloff, outfielder for the Oakland A's. Boy, there's not a whole hell of a lot to look forward to if you're an A's fan, but yeah. He is a nice little bright spot. Come up last year, and I think he was in 69 games, made a little bit of noise. Strikeout rate is a little high, but you kind of expect that from a young dude like him. If he can rein that in, he can give you 20-20, maybe even, you know, a little bit north of there. And at this point in the draft, you're looking at picks where you're looking for upside as opposed to floor. And I think if I'm going to take a chance on somebody, he's a pretty damn good dude to take a chance on.
And then falling a bit, of course, next up, final pick at 120, last pick in the 10th round, Jordan Romano with the Blue Jays, dealing with some elbow inflammation. So he dropped a little bit in our mock draft, but I'm hoping that he'll be able to return mid-April.
Hoping.
Heck yeah.
That was a fun little draft here.
Fun little exercise. Exercise is not a word I use very much.
No, not
surprise,
really.
Surprise.
So we got Penelope here in the chat. Can Spencer Torkelson hit his weight this year, or is the dream over? The dream is absolutely not over. You're talking about a dude who has hit everywhere he's been, he was, you know, fantastic in college. Last year's average didn't look great, but there was also some bad luck involved in that. Now, am I expecting him to hit 300 this year? Absolutely not. But I think he can approach the 250 mark here. And I think as he goes on and gets more adjusted to major league pitching, I think he could end up somewhere in the 275 range.
Okay.
Thanks for joining. Appreciate you stopping by. Kyle, do you want to drop the link to the
doing it right now?
The ship into the ship.
Yeah.
Unc there.
Yeah, Uncle Ted, if you can join, you would fill that league, and that would definitely alleviate my anxiety for Sunday's draft.
Yeah. Appreciate you stopping by, Penelope. If you haven't already, please consider giving us a like and subscribe. This is our little passion project, and we are on the march to 200 subscribers. We can't do it without all of you. We got Anthony back in here. Great job. Pretty close with his ADP. And that's it. You know, at this point in draft season, ADPs have really started to settle down, and you're not going to see as much volatility as you have, you know, even just a month ago.
Heck yeah. Well, it does it for us tonight, I think.
Yes.
Excellent.
Sweet.
Going to join. Appreciate that, Anthony. Awesome.
All right, folks. Appreciate you hanging out with us and going through this little mock draft here. It was an adventure. And I definitely learned a lesson that podcasts and shows like this sound much better when you turn the fucking mic on.
Yes, it helps. Thanks, Dubo. Appreciate it, man. You guys all have a great night. Take it easy. If you got some drafts to go this weekend, good luck. And March Madness, man. I'm gonna go waste my money on DraftKings.
Me too. We'll see you, folks.